Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's your birthday.
If I die, carry me in St. Louis
style. All I want for my birthday is a big booty. All I want for my birthday is a big booty. When I die, bury me in St. Louis style. When I die, bury me in St.
Louis store.
All I want for my birthday is a big booty. So I call big booty. Skirt, skirt. Wrist moving, cook, getting to it.
Sounds identical.
Now, is two chains one person, or are there two different chains, like two guys and two chains?
One guy.
It's just the one. It's just the one. It's not a duo. The two chains.
Nope.
It's just two chains.
Just one guy named two
one
chains.
One guy named two
like
chains.
Maybe he wears two chains.
Oh, I figured. I kind of figured that.
Right.
It's Ben and Woods. It is Friar Friday. It's our management report coming up at 8:35. We're going to be talking to the general manager of the Padres, the 5-2 Padres, currently tied for first place with the Dodgers and Rockies. Technically, percentage points behind the Rockies, who are 4-1 to start the season. The Padres and Dodgers are both 5-2 tonight. Garrett Richards will take the mound against John Gray at 5 o'clock in Game 1 of the weekend series. Always a little dicey when you head to Coors Field, especially for the first time.
A little dicey. This could be an 18-15
win
tonight.
I like Garrett Richards. I feel pretty confident with Garrett Richards.
It's that altitude that just, you
know. Keep the ball down.
Yeah, if you keep the ball down. You know, but they've tried, you know, they tried for years to figure out the right system in Colorado. And there was that year they're bringing in all those sinker ball pitchers, Mike Hampton and guys like that, and they were okay. But holy smokes, Velo almost, it seems sometimes like, goes out the window. I don't know what it is, but obviously, hey, and one way to look at it is some of your guys that may be scuffling a little bit, great place to get you back on track. Coors Field is a nice place to hit up in Colorado.
Our phone lines are open here for Padres fans on a Friar Friday. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. If you want to join us, you want to evaluate the manager, Jace Tingler, talk about players who have stood out here over the first seven games. We talked a lot about Trent Grisham already earlier in the show. He's going to join Gwynn and Chris this afternoon at 3:35. Take a victory lap after another great performance. He is really been impressive through the first week of the season. Absolutely. Tommy Pham yesterday kind of had his first big breakout game for the Padres. Came
clutched
up,
hit yeah,
in the 10th inning. And you could tell that – you could tell Tommy Pham, and he spoke after the game. You could tell that he had really – he wanted to make a good impression. He wants to contribute. He sees all these other guys on the team, you know, doing good stuff, and I think Tommy felt kind of left out at that point, and he's not used to that feeling contributing. So here's what he's had to say about the importance of last night's win.
Man, very important game. You know, one, to win the series, and two, to pick ourselves up and pick each other up. Last night, you know, kind of unfortunate, but today we grinded it out and we got the W.
Yeah, before the game, Jace Tingler said, you know, Wednesday, we got punched in the face for the first time. We blew a 6-2 lead. We lost 7-6. And he said, in kind of a sick way, I'm excited to see how my team responds to that. I loved that line. I tweeted out, this might be my new favorite Jace Tingler quote in his young managerial career. Because if I'm a player and I hear that my manager is kind of excited to see how we respond to that, God, it makes me want to have a good game that night. You
yeah,
know?
It does.
And show him, look, let's make a positive out of this. Yeah, it was a rough loss, but let's make a positive about that.
Yeah, you know, seven games in, and I love the job that Jace Tingler's done. He's got some rave reviews from his guys already, and look, anything can happen over the course of a long season. You're together a lot. Guys are going to get on your nerves. You're going to get on their nerves. That being said, early returns, pretty good. I mean, 5-2 is very solid.
I've also criticized Jace Tingler specifically for his bullpen usage and his decisions when it comes to the pitching staff. And last night, I had one that, you know, I turned out to be wrong on, but I kind of thought that he stuck with the Nelson Lamet. He was a little too committed to getting him through that fifth inning, whether that was for the purposes of making sure he got a qualify for the win so he could get that on his, you know, stat record. But, you know, by the fifth inning, I thought Nelson Lamet was laboring. He wasn't hitting his spots. I was worried that it was about to come unraveled. He ended up getting out of that inning okay, and they pulled him after 91 pitches. So I was wrong about that. It didn't turn out to hurt Jace Tingler, but, you know, I thought there should have been someone up in the bullpen ready to go at that point, especially early in this season where guys have not had a chance to really ramp up that much again. You do not want those situations to, you know, snowball out of control where you're not ready to get someone into the game, because it can happen pretty quickly, Woods, where all of a sudden, you know, a couple of hits and two consecutive pitches, and then you get the tying run up at the plate.
Yeah.
You know, and you haven't even made your call down to the bullpen yet. And we saw what happened on the other side when it happened to a more experienced manager last night in Gabe Kapler in the 10th inning.
Oh, my God, that guy.
When all of a sudden the Padres started, you know, getting hit after hit, and he realized, I need a reliever, and I'm not ready, and he sent out
his pitching coach,
and then he came back, and then he tried to take him out, and the ump said, you can't do that. You can't come send your pitching coach out and then not take your pitcher out and then come back out. He needs to face another batter. And I believe that's when Hedges laid down his bunt right after that. So that was Kapler, who, you know, this isn't his first job as a manager.
No.
Getting caught flat-footed. So I'm not surprised that, you know, Jace Tingler is still adjusting to that as well. It's not easy to manage bullpens in Major League Baseball. But I thought that was kind of an embarrassing moment for the Giants.
Beyond embarrassing. And he had that guy left out there to rot. And that guy rotted. I can't remember his name. Rogers, is that right? The guy that was pitching in the 10th or whatever? Just rotting out there. I mean, he got smoked. And then, yeah, not knowing the rule. I mean, Mud Grant was giving it to Kapler last night, too, on the broadcast, as he should. This is not your first gig. This is not your first time in the league. I believe this happened to Kapler week one of his Phillies managerial career. How do you make that mistake twice if you're Gabe Kapler? Like, that's not a mistake you ever want to make again.
And it was Tyler Rogers.
Tyler Rogers.
He had pitched the ninth, and he looked fine, but then had nothing in the 10th. Ended up giving up six runs, five earned, because the one that gets put out on second base doesn't count as an earned run.
Right.
But he was charged with all six runs Padres scored in that 10th inning. Walk, just three hits, but it got out of control fast.
Very quick. And for Kapler not to know that, yeah, I saw a headline already last night. You know, it's the Giants fans in the newspaper were calling for his head already. It just can't happen. It's a terribly embarrassing moment. So at least we haven't had any of those yet. The matchup that I questioned a lot yesterday was you had Pomeranz in, let's see. No, you left Perdomo in to face Brandon Belt, a lefty with runners on second and third. I didn't get that. And then you brought in Pomeranz. And then he had Longoria. Now, I believe that's when we got bailed out with that catch, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe
so. It kind of worked out. He did end up giving up one run, but it was like, oh, God, what are we doing? Like, in all day, I want Pomeranz against Brandon Belt. Every time, I don't want Pomeranz against Longoria, and you probably would have had to face him next anyway, but at least you get an out there. Maybe you walk Longoria, force them to make a move. So that was a little bit cool, a little bit concerning for
me. It feels like with such a deep bullpen, with a 30-man roster and so many extra pitchers, that this should be like the...
You think it's the easy part.
You know, this is the elementary school of dealing with bullpens. It's only going to get harder. In a few days, next week, they're going to have to reduce the roster from 30 to 28. Are you going to get rid of one pitcher, two pitchers? I mean, and then 2 weeks later, they're going to go down to 26, and you're going to be down to probably, you know, 13 pitchers at that point. It's going to get even tougher moving forward to try to deal with the bullpen. Now, as the season goes on and relievers get a little more comfortable, it might be easier to use guys back-to-back days. For instance, last night, I was wondering if Tim Hill could go again. He's one of the guys who's actually looked really sharp, the new acquisition for the Padres. He pitched on Wednesday, though, had that one inning where he had with the three left-handers coming up for the Giants going, boy, this would be a nice spot for Tim Hill to come in here instead of a righty that the Padres had in. But we'll see. He's trying to manage. He's trying to be careful. You want these guys still fresh at the end of the season.
Well, he's also doing, Ben, is there's a lot of, you just said it, take the rosters down at some point. So there's a lot of show us what you got. You know, and it's tough. That's the line that you draw as a manager between, like, hey, show us what you got out there. I'm going to give you an opportunity to compete in a couple of instances instead of being so quick to just yank you out. I'm going to see what you got in you. And all that's going to factor into the decision-making on who they're going to keep on this roster. It's an audition is basically what it is, because anytime you have cuts, isn't everybody playing as an audition? Obviously, there's a few exceptions to that rule. But if you're in that bullpen, you're like, I got to have a good outing tonight. And I'll tell you, man, who I've been impressed with is Pierce Johnson. And I said it before the season. Maybe the one thing I got right was he was a guy I was counting on to get big outs, and he got four of them last night and looked really good doing it. And hasn't given up anything. Hasn't gotten a lot of opportunities, but he came through last night in a big way.
You're just going to have to wait and see which relievers are the ones that become the most reliable ones. Remember also that you're dealing with this abbreviated restart, the summer camp. It's not a normal baseball season. Maybe some of these guys are just going through that dead arm week that usually happens during spring training. Maybe, you know, relievers, that can happen to them as well. So, you know, I'm not giving up on Pagan at this point.
Nor am I, nor should anybody else.
If he had struggled all the way through spring training and then struggled in summer camp and now has struggled in the season, I'd say, well, there might be something wrong with him. But the guy looked nasty.
He is nasty. He is nasty. Like, nasty pitchers go through funks. They need a little bit of a tweak in their mechanics. Like, he's not, you know.
I mean, even Kirby Yates wasn't immune in his appearance last weekend as well.
He's not really a guy that I'm overly concerned with. And the DFA Pagan guys, like, somebody would snatch that guy up in 1 second. He hit the wire, he's a New York Yankee. He hits the wire, he's an L.A. Dodger.
And, you know, Sarah told us that Austin Hedges would be snatched up immediately.
Right.
Obviously, Pagan would be snatched up. There are teams that would love to have a guy like that. Speaking of Jace Tingler decisions, we talked about it earlier, but I think it's worth revisiting. In the 10th inning, with Will Myers coming to the plate, one run already in, but one run means nothing.
Right.
Almost nothing.
Especially now.
In the 10th inning. When a runner starts on second base. Yeah, Tommy Pham got that guy in, but you want to add on. You do not want to have this game going to the bottom of the 10th with a one-run lead. Will Myers, who has been off to a pretty decent start this season, but was going to be up against a right-hander and had struck out, I think, 3 times in the game prior. Jace Tingler decided to go away from his $20 million man and go to his little utility guy from Valhalla High School in Greg Garcia. It's a pretty gutsy decision for a manager. I thought it was the right call even before Greg Garcia came through with a big hit. But it takes some fortitude as a skipper to pull out your high-profile guy for the non-starter in a situation like that, Woods.
It really does. And, I you were a little bit more understated on it earlier.
Yeah.
Last night when I saw this, I went, oh my God, what is happening? And you think to yourself, I mean, Will Myers, he's not a superstar. There's a handful of superstars in Major League Baseball. But obviously he's a really important guy. You've paid him a lot of dough and you're depending on him to have a really good season. And you think he can get the job done most of the time. However, I guess based on what Jace had seen, he loved the matchup of Garcia more, and he just pulled the trigger. And I thought, oh, my God, this guy's been here a week. He has giant rhinoceros balls. And that's exactly what he did. And I said it earlier. Somebody tweeted, boy, I'm really glad Garcia got that hit before I could tweet out my true feelings about that move. It worked out. And, I mean, what better feeling than that? You throw him in. Myers has even got to be like, oh, hell yeah, great move. I'm sure he's not stoked about coming out of the game. But when you see your teammate go and pick everybody up like that, it's great. They want to win.
You know, Will hadn't been taking great swings yesterday.
Yeah, had not looked good.
For sure. Here's what Jace had to say about the decision to pinch hit with Greg Garcia in the 10th inning.
Yeah, you know, at kind of a sidearm, tough angled righty, and just thought, you know, Greg's one of our you know, toughest at bats, and so just thought that would be a moment, you know, for him. You know, tried to do it as late as we could, you know, to not give away anything on, you know, them bringing in another reliever and things like that. And you know, fortunately, you know, he stepped up and laced a line drive into center. So that was a huge at bat. And I don't think, you know, I just think it's incredibly hard to come in off the bench and do that. And Greg's already done it a couple times. So.
Well, you really had nothing to worry about, Jace, as far as waiting to the last second, because Gabe Kapler was actually asleep on the bench during that 10th inning. So you really had nothing to worry about.
It was a long game, I mean.
Was he texting some? Like, what were you doing, Gabe?
If I'm Greg Garcia, at some point do you hear over and over again about what a tough at-bat you are and what a professional hitter you are?
Why aren't I playing?
Ask the question. How come I'm not in the lineup,
you know,
most days then?
Having gotten a chance to talk to Greg a few times and kind of knowing his M.O., Ben, there are guys in the big leagues that know their role. He knows his role. He knows what he's good at, and he is the guy. He's not going to go in there
waves. He's not a defensive star, but no. I wouldn't say he's a liability out there at and second base either.
And he can play short, too, in a pinch if you need it. He can play third if you had to, he's just that. There, I mean, how many great teams have you seen come around, Ben? And they all have that role player. They all have that.
Most teams, World Series winners, 100% have someone like that.
You get a Steve Pierce who gets hot for the Red Sox.
Dodgers
have nine role players that are just
be able to do that.
Phenomenal. That could play anywhere else, you know, start. And it's such an important thing to be. And Ben, if that's his role. And he knows it. I'm sure he's not fine with it because he wants to play every day, but he's going to embrace his opportunities. I love that about what he's done so far. He's had a great, great start to the season.
Every time we bring up a new topic, I think of another question I want to ask AJ Preller, and now I know I'm never going to have time to get them all in, so I'm going to have to prioritize. When the general manager joins us in under 20 minutes, our management report here on Fryer Friday, AJ Preller going to be here with Ben and Wood. So do not leave. Stay tuned for that. When we come back, also I want to get to a couple of baseball headlines, including I think the team that's off to the most disappointing start right now in Major League Baseball and why things could be getting worse for them as well. And I guess the Marlins, are they disappointed? They're 2-1.
And they're not playing.
They may never get to play.
They're getting healthier.
They have the best winning percentage in baseball. I know. No, it's not the Marlins. We'll get to that coming up next. Right now, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.